So, Lord, as we are gathered here this evening to listen to your word, we really want to open our hearts, Lord, in a very particular way to the gentle presence and influence of the Holy Spirit, whom we welcome and invite to be very active amongst us. Lord, I ask you to strengthen and anoint me to speak the word you want spoken. So tonight, as we go through these series of homilies leading up to Pentecost, the theme tonight is the, if it comes on the screen, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is a wonderful, wonderful topic, and I feel very blessed to be the priest preaching tonight about the Holy Spirit, and especially about this particular work of the Holy Spirit where he baptizes us. Because I come from a Baptist background, and we make a lot of out of baptism. In fact, when I was 16 years of age, I stood up before the whole church. And I said, I had to give a little testimony, and I said, I'm going to follow Jesus in my life, and I want him to be the Lord of my life. I don't think I really knew quite what that meant at that stage, but that's what I said. And then the minister took me and plunged me down into the water. There was sort of like a pool built into the side of the church. You know, we went down three times and then came up. And that was my baptism. And it was a wonderful experience to be completely immersed in the water and, you know, have the water just surrounding you and feeling, yes, this is, I'm dying to my old life and I'm going to rise to new life. Amen? And that's what we're all going to do through this great gift of the Holy Spirit. He's going to pour new life into us. And it's his life. It's the life of God. And it's the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, as Paul tells us in Romans. I also love to preach about this because there's so many wonderful stories of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I'm remembering this evening a mission that Brother Paul Nixon was involved in earlier in the 1990s in Papua New Guinea. And he went out with I think Brother Brian Welsh and a couple of others, and they took a small plane and went from Port Moresby inland a little bit for about half an hour's flight into a very mountainous part of Papua New Guinea. In fact, you can't find any flat ground there at all. And the plane, when it came into land at Farne, the place was called Farne, it actually landed on the side of a mountain. So the plane came in and had to land going up the mountain, and then it would stop, turn around, and when it took off, it would go down the mountain and have to turn very quickly before it smashed into the mountain opposite. So just turn around to get out. And woe betide the pilot who turned the wrong way, because he'd go down a valley which would then rise so high the plane couldn't get out, because these planes cannot go above 10,000 feet, so they're not pressurized. So that would be the end of the plane. And in fact, this particular place, Farne, as you landed, there was a rather disturbing sign to the left of the runway, which was another plane that had come in too sharply, and its wheels had dug into the runway and flipped the whole plane over. So they could see the plane lying on the side of the runway. Not sort of thing Qantas would want to happen to one of their planes, I'm sure. So the Holy Spirit really does come to do wonderful things. And on that particular mission, I was getting a bit distracted with the aeroplanes there, but on that particular mission, they walked over a mountain to a small village. And this village was called Cordigay. And the people there are quite beautiful, wonderful people. And they're called the Goyala people. And they have these amazing legs because they're always walking up and down mountains, and huge feet. And they were all meeting in this small church. And they had this Life in the Spirit seminar, as we're doing. Anyway, the people were all there to be prayed with for the Holy Spirit. Now, if you saw this church, you wouldn't really want to be there praying for the Holy Spirit. Because remember, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in power and shook the building, and the wind came, because this building was already tilting over. And as all the people were dancing and praising the Lord inside, you know, praying for the Holy Spirit to come, the building started tottering. And fortunately, the Holy Spirit came to the rescue, because he knocked them all over on the floor, which they spent a few hours just lying on the floor, you know, taken up into the presence of the Holy Spirit. So that probably saved the church. But the Holy Spirit does come to do amazing things. And I know in my own life, as a young person growing up in the church at Unley Park Baptist Church many years ago, that I didn't hear a lot about the Holy Spirit. In fact, we didn't call it the Holy Spirit. We called it the Holy Ghost. And perhaps that's why we didn't hear much about it, because I don't think we're all too keen on ghosts. But anyway, we've sort of moved on from there to the Holy Spirit, and we feel a little bit more at ease, perhaps, with the Holy Spirit rather than the Holy Ghost. But I remember, you know, going each week to church. We usually went at least twice or three times each Sunday, because we have morning service, which was a long Bible teaching. And then you'd have afternoon some lectures or talks, and then you'd have the evening fellowship or youth service, which was usually sort of evangelical preaching and calling people to faith. And I used to faithfully go regularly to church, but I never heard a lot about the Holy Spirit or how the Holy Spirit could help me in my life. And I guess myself, like many young people, I struggled with the big L. The big L. Do you know what the big L might be? Love, yes. Well, I needed more love, I can tell you that much. Lust. Lust was a problem in my life, and there were other things that flowed from that. And I didn't know how to overcome it. I didn't know how to gain victory. I knew that it was not really good, wasn't right to be giving way to lust and impurity and having my mind filled with all these sexual thoughts. But I had no power in myself to do anything about it. So I began, I guess, my Christian walk as a young person of the age of 8 when a religious education teacher came to our school and shared the story of Jesus and his love for us. And I remember praying in that classroom as this religious teacher said, look, if you'd like to invite Jesus into your heart, if you'd like to know Jesus as your Savior, pray this prayer. And I remember praying a simple prayer, asking Jesus to cleanse my life of sin and to come into my heart. And I really did experience the Lord's presence at that time, 8 years of age. But then we go on and on, and then at 17, 16, I was baptized. But it was only when I was 19 that I experienced the Holy Spirit. So perhaps we'll look at the next slide. Thanks, Evan. So in the gospel, this is a bit of a smorgasbord of things, but because I'd like us to have a good understanding. I think faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And therefore, it's good to have stories, but we need something to ground our faith, and that's why I've put up this PowerPoint. And in the Gospel, in the Book of Acts, we hear of Philip going out and preaching. And he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He'd been appointed and ordained by the apostles to be a deacon. And he had a particular gift of preaching and healing. And we read about him going into the area of the Samaritans in the middle section of Israel there. And he proclaimed the Messiah. He proclaimed the Christ. He proclaimed that Jesus is the Anointed One, that Jesus is the answer for all the hopes and dreams of mankind, and that God has sent his answer into our world. And it's the Lord Jesus. He is the answer. He's the answer to all our longings. And the people received the message with great joy. And many miracles took place, as it often does when the gospel is brought into a new context. And of course, the evil one starts stirring things up too. And evil spirits start screaming and crying out as they're driven out by the power of God. So we see in that first part of that, the gospel is proclaimed and healings and deliverance take place. And after that, the people are converted. They go through a conversion. They turn from their evil ways. They turn from their sin, their idolatry, their immorality, and they seek the Lord. And then we're told that they were baptized, that Philip baptized them in the name of Jesus. So they were baptized. And after that, there was a report that went back to Jerusalem, and Peter and John, hearing that the Samaritans had responded to the gospel, they came down and they laid hands on these people to receive the Holy Spirit. So you can see that there's a sequence of things happening here. That you have the preaching of the gospel, you have the signs that accompany Jesus' ministry, the people respond, they're converted, then they were baptized. And after they were baptized, hands were laid on them and they received this empowering of the Holy Spirit, this grace of Pentecost. Okay, what's the next slide? Okay, Peter preaching to Cornelius. This was a different context, a different situation. We have Peter preaching. We didn't hear this story, but it's in Acts chapter 10. Again, as they listen to Peter, their hearts are opened. They receive the gift of faith. They turn from sin, and the Holy Spirit just comes down sovereignly, and they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. They hadn't been baptized yet. The Holy Spirit just acted. And then Peter said, "Surely we cannot keep baptism from these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did on the day of Pentecost." So there we see those sequence. The gospel, conversion, then they received the Holy Spirit, and then they were baptized. It doesn't really matter what order it's in. The Holy Spirit doesn't mind. If you receive his power first and then get baptized, or are baptized and then receive this grace of his anointing and power in your life. The important thing is that we receive all of this, that all of this is part of our Christian experience. And really, it's not just something that happened in the past. It's not like, oh yes, I've done that, finished with that, now I've moved on. No, we always come back to hearing the gospel proclaimed. We constantly come back seeking healing in our lives. We constantly need a deeper conversion, deeper repentance. And as we go through this, we will receive in a greater way the action and grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay, what about the next one? So the paraclete, I love that word. It's a beautiful word. It was the scriptures spoke of the advocate. But the paraclete, there we have Jesus at his baptism, or an image of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit coming down upon him. So Jesus says there in John 14, "I'm going away. I'm going to go away. But I will not leave you orphans. I'll send you another paraclete to be with you always." Now what struck me when I read that was this word here, another. Why does Jesus say another paraclete? who would have been the one first? Who was the first paraclete? Jesus. Jesus was the first paraclete. So he said, I'm going away, but I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you abandoned. I'll send another paraclete. Okay, let's have a look at the next slide. So we have parakletos, which can be interpreted in different ways, but I think it doesn't matter so much what word we use because we're talking about a person, and you cannot really just categorize a person with a few words. I'd like to look at how Jesus was the paraclete. So we see that Jesus, in his ministry with the apostles, taught them. He mentored them for 3 years. At times he had to correct them. He led them. He fed them the Eucharist. He fed them the miracle of the loaves and fish. He was the one who really supplied their needs. He offered his friendship to them. He was their Lord. And he was with them. These were all the ways the disciples experienced Jesus, the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Advocate, the one who stands with them through all the trials. And similarly, the Holy Spirit comes as the Parakletos. He teaches us. He leads us into the truth. Even tonight, as we listen to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is teaching us. And that's really one of the keys for growth in the spiritual life, is to be seeking the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because we all come up against obstacles in our life. Lord, why can't I move through this situation? Why am I stuck here? Why can't I move on in my life? What's blocking me? We need the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit, because otherwise we'll just be rotating round and round in our spiritual life and not really making any progress. But the Holy Spirit is there. He's been given to us to enlighten us and to teach us. He mentors us. He wants to instruct us, to fill us with wisdom if we seek it. He corrects us at times. No, don't do that. That's not right. Do this instead. There's always that gentle voice of the Spirit in our hearts, guiding us in the right way. He will lead us. The Holy Spirit will guide us through those who are placed in authority over us. He'll guide us through the community, of course, through our bishop and the pope. So the Holy Spirit guides us both in our personal, individual life, in our marriages and families, and in our community. The Holy Spirit feeds us. He takes the Word of God and applies it into our lives. One of the reasons I think this Mass is such a beautiful Mass is because as we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, the Holy Spirit is enlivening us to the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So it becomes much more fruitful in our lives. So that we take this beautiful gift of Jesus out into our world. The Holy Spirit offers us his friendship. He is our Lord. And he not only is with us, he indwells us. The Holy Spirit indwells us in the depths of our hearts. And it's a beautiful meditation to meditate on the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart. To spend time just gazing in love upon the presence of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to gaze in love at you. That's one of the most beautiful prayers, just to be loved and in that communion of love with the Holy Spirit. So we see there Mary praying with the disciples at Pentecost. So I'd encourage us as we move from this Mass to next week, when we'll be praying for the Holy Spirit, to invite Our Lady, the Blessed Mother Mary, to pray with us, to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So what happens when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit? What can we expect to happen? I've already spoken about some of these things, but just so we are very clear about what the Lord will do, we will receive power. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. Before I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I was full of fear. My life was full of fear. I had no confidence. I couldn't stand up in front of anyone. I remember at school being asked to stand up in front of the class and read out loud. And I was so terrified, I just burst into tears. And the teacher took pity on me and said, okay, sit down. But when the Holy Spirit, he liberates us, he liberates that person that is perhaps hidden and crippled and bound. And he brings us freedom. He brings us into the fullness of life. He fills us with love, the love we long for. And he fills us with a capacity to love that we've never known before. He gives us a deeper faith. Because with the Holy Spirit, we come to know the truths of God, the truths of our faith, in a much more real and tangible and life-giving way. He gives us a zeal. The Holy Spirit overcomes within us that lethargy and sloth. I don't want to get up this morning, Lord. Oh. The Holy Spirit shakes us out of bed and makes us excited about the day. Well, sometimes. No. He gives us joy. Joy. Always keep that burning in your heart. The gift of joy. It's such a beautiful gift. I remember when I was in PNG, I mean, the people there are very imaginative and they have a great sort of fear of evil spirits. And I used to say to them, look, sometimes when you come to church, you look like you've got this big, evil, heavy spirit sitting on your shoulders, you know, pushing you down and making you feel depressed. And I say, the best thing to do is jump up and down, praise the Lord, and the evil spirit will fall off. Joy is a wonderful, wonderful antidote to a lot of our problems. You know, to maintain that joyfulness within our hearts. And sometimes we just have to choose to be joyful. We say, I'm not going to focus on the problems. I'm not going to be downcast. The Lord is with me. I choose to walk in faith, to be joyful. That's the action of the Holy Spirit. We'll be given a deeper intimacy with Jesus. Really, until I experienced this infilling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus to me was someone who lived a long time ago, who I read the nice stories in the gospel, but I didn't really feel I knew him. Not really. But with the coming of the Spirit in this new way, I really could feel in my heart Jesus burning. It was like a fire. It was just beautiful. It was wonderful. And I really felt like everything's changed. It's a bit like when you fall in love. You know, everything's beautiful. The sky's beautiful and blue. The birds are all singing. Everything's wonderful. It was like that, except even greater, even more wonderful. And we're given different gifts of the Spirit, and one particular gift, which is poured out in a great way, an abundant way, is the gift of tongues, which you may have heard in the Mass tonight. But that is a way to pray to God. As Paul says, when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit within us cries, Abba, Father. And so we can use this beautiful gift of the prayer of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts treats our heart as a temple. We may not treat our heart as a temple. We may pour a lot of rubbish and junk there. I know I do at times. But the Holy Spirit treats our hearts as a temple. And the Holy Spirit is constantly worshiping the Father in and through us, in our hearts, the temple of our hearts. And so when we pray in tongues, we are really giving voice to this worship that is constantly going on within us of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worshiping, leading us in worship of God. And something that we might find quite difficult to do, to really enter into worship, the Holy Spirit does in and through us as we yield to Him. So we'll be learning more about that next week. So I'm just encouraging us all in this coming week to pray and be ready for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And also, if you can, take an opportunity to go to reconciliation, because that's, as I said earlier, that process of listening to the Word of God, turning from sin, receiving the Holy Spirit. That is the model. It doesn't change. That is the model of conversion. That is the model of spiritual renewal. That is the way of spiritual growth. And perhaps it's some time since you've been to reconciliation, or perhaps you go regularly. But I'd encourage you to really go a step deeper, to really lay bare your heart to the Lord. And perhaps there are things there that you've felt ashamed to ever bring to a priest, and you're sort of hidden away. It's so liberating to just open up everything and let all those channels be washed clean. Because the more we allow that to happen, the more fully the Holy Spirit will be able to come and indwell us. The more fully He'll be able to clothe us with His presence. So let's all pray for each other. And also be aware that the evil one may seek to hinder you. So be on your guard against the evil one. That's not to make us frightened, but just to be aware that he is not wanting us to receive this gift, and therefore we just have to be vigilant. But as we pray for each other, as we place ourselves in the hands of our Blessed Mother, I'm sure we've got nothing to worry about. So let's just have a prayer now. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, how beautiful it is, Lord, to gather in your temple in this place. How wonderful it is that we have been called, that you love us so much, that you pour your very life into us, Lord. Lord, as we travel this week, help us, Lord, to truly be open to all that you want to do. And we pray for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us, that will not only touch our lives, but through us touch countless other lives, to the glory of your name. Amen.